Hallelujah.
And I keep hearing the Lord say, am I not love? Did I not send my only begotten Son to purchase you back for me once again, that I could be a father, that we could have fellowship, that we could have a relationship once again? I'm telling you, the love of God is in this room this morning. And I kept hearing Him say, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what's gone on. For my love covers a multitude. Today, all you have to do is ask. All you have to do today, says the Lord, is cry out unto my name. Father, forgive me. Father, I love you. Come on, something is shifting in this room. Something is changing. I kept hearing the Lord say all morning, there's nothing that can keep you from the love of God but you. There's nothing that can keep you from the love of God but you. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of repentance. Today is the day, as a son and daughter, you can just come to me and you can ask and you shall receive and it shall be given unto you. Wow. Come on, right now there's something in this room. Father, right now we release your anointing that breaks the yoke of the enemy. Father, I don't know what situations, I don't know what the circumstances are. But Father, we come to you as sons and daughters. And Father, we surrender. And Father, we thank you for your love, God. We thank you that there's nothing that can keep us from the love of God if we'll ask and we'll repent, God. Father, right now, in this room, God, I don't know what. I just see like chains. I see things. And Father, right now we break everything, every lie of the enemy, everything that's been spoken over our lives, everything that's been spoken against us, even in the church, Lord, we break that thing. And Father, we release the love of God this morning, the love of God that fills, that restores and renews. Father, I release that right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, there's something in this atmosphere. I just keep seeing healing, restoration. Healing and restoration. Father, we release this in Jesus' name.
Receive the healing, receive the restoration, whether it be in your physical body, in your heart, some way, in a hurt. God just wants to reach in and touch you in such a special way. His kindness goes beyond anything that we could ever dream of. But in that dream, we find out that there's some beautiful, beautiful things. I had a dream, and God fulfills the dream. And wherever you're at, pretty much what the prophetic was saying, wherever you're at, you're accepted in the beloved. In other words, God loves you. You know, you're accepted. And from the very first day that I believed, from the first day that I made a confession of faith towards God, said, hey, you know what, God, I need to find you, find your will for my life. And he started that process. It's always in process. Amen. Well, we have again an opportunity. Happy Easter. Welcome all of you. We're so glad that you're here. I mean, it's like, wow, this is good stuff. And a lot of great people, the people of God. And so we have an opportunity to sow into the kingdom of God biblically with our tithes and our offerings. And if you're wanting to do that, you can make a check payable to the community church, and God bless you in your giving. Thank you, Jeff, for you'd come. And kids, afterwards, I think our Sunday school program is going on. Okay, so afterwards, after you give, you can head for your children's sanctuary. Bless you in your giving. It's a new season we're in. I like it. All right. Bless you guys. All right. Probably the greatest day in the history of the world. I shouldn't even say probably. It is the greatest day in the world that he didn't only die for us, didn't only die on a cross for us, didn't go through all of the pain and suffering for us, but he's resurrected for us. And so because he's resurrected, we get to be resurrected. And I like that process. Amen. And it's all in process. And wherever you're at, God just encouraging you to hang in there. You're in process to what God has spoke over your life. And if he hasn't said anything, well, you're just beginning the process, which is very, very good. Because having that with God and that relationship is so powerful. We're about 2 weeks away from leaving for Uganda. We're going to be there for 15 days. And we have a mother and daughter conference for 4 days and 5 days with teenagers. There will be 800 approximately mothers and daughters there, 800 approximately teens there. So you can imagine it's going to be a real good time. And then we're, of course, Steve, he always adds a little bit more. So we're meeting with 100 pastors the last 3 days. And working with in Western Uganda, and we're working with the pastors there. So it should be a pretty exciting trip, life-changing trip. And Uganda is a very, I should say, it's a very rich nation. It's called Africa, the pearl of Africa is Uganda. But if you looked in the natural, the dollars or the money they have is not a whole lot. And so we decided to take this on, and it's $3.75 for one person to go to the conference. Teens, mothers, daughters, $3.75. So if you want to be part of that, you'd say, well, I don't have $100. Well, $3.75 is what it costs to bring one person or have them come to that conference, and that includes travel, that includes lodging and food. And I told Steve, I said, I think I'm going to bring you back from Africa, and you can start putting stuff together if it's $3.75 for 4 days. So if you're wanting to be part of that, you could make your check payable to the community church, or let's do this, United Team International. And Jeff, could you have a basket back on that table? If you're wanting to be part of that, $100 sends 27 people to the conference. I got a check the other day from Jerry Breyer, and he gave a $500, and he knew exactly how many people were going to come to the conference because he did that. which was pretty cool. It was 133 people. So with that thought, you can pray about it. Don't pray too long. It's 2 weeks and we're out of here. Anyhow, Easter Sunday.
Yes.
You know, I've said different things in my life, and whether it be in my Christian life or before, I said, I'm going to turn a new leaf. You know that the old deal, whatever it was, good, bad, or ugly, I'm turning a new leaf in life. And isn't it so true that when Jesus had to go through what he went through, it wasn't like, you know, from the very birth of Jesus, the plan was already set in place. It wasn't like, well, we're going to stumble around here for 5 years or 3 years here or over here. No, it was a process that was already way before Jesus came. The process was already prophesied in the Bible. The Old Testament talked about Jesus coming and becoming a Savior and a Redeemer and someone that loves us and somebody that will get us out of our mess and our pickle. You know, we just, and this Jesus is the same Jesus that died 2,000 years ago to the end of his process, resurrection, so that he would continue to live on forever in the eternal sense to help us do the same thing. And we're going to read through some scriptures, but it gives the idea, where is Jesus now? And the Bible says that he is at the right hand of the Father. You say, well, here I'm going to have a long-distance call again to get to the Father because Jesus is there. Hey, Jesus is this close because when we make that decision about accepting him and getting in process, what goes on, he said, I receive you in the process of God. Just like Jesus had all them prophetic things said about him before he even arrived on earth, every prophetic thing that was said was fulfilled. You know, he did ask for a little bit of a favor. If this thing could pass from me, if I would not be crucified, I'd really enjoy that. You know, he didn't want to be crucified. It wasn't like, hey, you know what? We're going to have a great party. We're going to be crucified. And the third day, we're going to rise from the dead. It was the process. And you know, I think a lot of times with Jesus, we always say, well, he was the Son of God. Yes, he was. But he had to go through process to purchase us. You know, and it had to be going all the way from birth. And you think of the things that went on in the Bible from the birth of Jesus and how the enemy wanted to destroy this Jesus called the deliverer of the world. He did not want Jesus to redeem us because that would ruin his plan. And if God has a plan, certainly the devil has a plan. And his plan is to rob, kill, and destroy. Pretty simple. But very effective, especially if we do not know what's going on. That was part of the prophetic word today, is the only one that actually can put us out of the plan is ourselves. You know what I'm saying? We can put ourselves out of the plan. God's plan for us is good and not evil. God's plan is us to prosper and be in good health and call upon his name and he'll be there and releasing the angelical visitation like Jesus had in his life when the angels actually came. That was a prophetic word that was spoken in the Old Testament way before Jesus was born. It was a fulfillment of the prophetic voice over the life of Jesus. Do you know that as Jesus came as a man and he had all those things, you also have a prophetic voice that have been spoken over you, or you're in process of someone or the Spirit of the Lord just coming on you and speaking the things about the prophetic word. Prophetic word means that something that you're going to become Do you always hear a voice? No. You could be reading the Bible. You could be praying, and there's a prophetic voice that comes along. There could be someone that would be looking at you and say, hey, I see something in your life, that this is what God has for you. And you'd go, really? You know, I mean, really? Yes, really. And when you grab a hold of that, you grab a hold of it, just like salvation. When I gave my life to Jesus, it wasn't any, like angels came and this and that. I made a decision to walk. It was a long walk on Super Bowl Sunday. And we walked down and we received Christ. And in three, you talk about miracles, in 3 months' time, in 3 weeks' time, I believed I was going to hell, because I always said the story was that I'm going to hell so I can party with my friends, you know, but I didn't know what hell was, and after I found out, there was no party in hell for your friends or yourself. It was like you were thrown in utter darkness. I'm going, wow, that's not a good plan. And so if I would have kept on that plan, that would have paid dividends that were definitely out of this world the wrong way. You know, I thought I was going up and I was going down. But in three weeks' time, I knew that I was going to heaven. I knew that my Redeemer lives, and he wants me to understand that I'm going to heaven and not hell. I'm going to a place that has been laid out for me from the foundations of the earth. Before you were born, God knew who you were. And he knew this day, way before the beginning of time, about you. See, it's all about us. You know, you can say, well, you know, God so loved the world. Absolutely. But what about Tom Ramsey?
Yes.
You know, what about Isaac? What about Sarah? You know, I mean, what about Jake? He knew me, and he started working on me, and all I had to do is get into process. It was a process. So anyway, going through the process. I find out with neuroplasticity, I believe that is called, that you say it enough times. Now, I believe that there was a lot of miracles that got me from going to hell to heaven. It only took 3 weeks, and I had invested 26 years in trying to, you know, be the cool guy on the block. But this thing, when you start speaking things, when you start believing things, I'm a child of God. The goodness of God is all over my life. My kids are the inheritance from God to me. You start speaking good things over people's lives, ones you love, praying, saying, hey, good morning, beautiful. You know, that's before they combed their hair, took their shower, put on all the nice garb that they're wearing. But they're beautiful. And when you start speaking like that, things start changing around you. Amen. You know, you can bring this to work. Like when the temperature is about 50 in the room when you walk in. Have you ever walked into a room? It's cold in here. You don't want to be the thermostat or the temperature gauge. You want to be the thermostat. Let's turn this thing up to 70 so we feel comfortable. Let's turn it up. And you become the light of the world, like Jesus was the light of the world, right? That's what he said. He come into the world, was great darkness, and then there was light. And Jesus came in, and he's the light of the world. And when we walk on the earth, because we walk with him at the right hand of God in heavenly places, where do you live, Jake? Well, I live at 419, and my biggest heavenly place is I built a balcony last year, and it's 14 feet high, maybe 16, but I'm up there, that's my heavenly place. No. My heavenly place is seated with Christ at the right hand of God the Father. In him, I live, I breathe, I have my being, because God, he brings me into the heavenly. And you'd say, well, you know, in time to come, when I die, then I'll go into heaven. Hey, the time is now. Right? Jesus died, so who else died? Anyone else?
We did.
Okay? And so we were buried. Or I said, he was buried. Anyone else buried?
We were buried.
And then the real exciting part is that he is alive, he's resurrected, and he's alive.
Amen.
And who else is?
We are.
Pretty simple. Pretty simple. I'm alive. I live with God in heavenly places. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He said that he'd not leave us or forsake us. And the Holy Spirit brings us up, starts revealing these things. Wow, what did you catch today? Well, I'm in process. Okay, so how far are you in process? As far as God has me, and I know who I am, and I'm walking, and I'm talking. And so sometimes you can get off. I mean, I look at Moses. He got off a little bit, like about 40 years, and he was wandering around in the wilderness. Man, could you get off 40 years in the process? Well, Moses, he walked, but do you think that he was off? Do you think that God didn't know about him in the wilderness? He knew exactly where Moses was at. Was it necessary? I guess so. Why did he do that? Moses, why did he do that? I don't know, and he apparently it looked like he didn't know either. Because when God confronted him and said, now I'm going to send you to the people to set them free, he said, hey man, I can't talk. I suppose maybe he's been talking to sheep for 40 years. He forgot how to talk. I don't know what the whole deal was, or he didn't know the Egyptian language anymore. But the fact is, he was in his mind, was not qualified. And so many times, the enemy in the world around us says that we're not qualified to be a Christian. I'm not qualified to be loved by God. So, I mean, who would ever get up and say, well, I'm hated by God? I wouldn't want to think about that for a week. I'm loved by God. Just like Moses in that wilderness place, he was loved by God. God loved him. He was a foreigner in a foreign land, but God loved him. And with that type of response, that the love of God, and when he showed up in that burning bush, man, he just said, I love you. Really, that's what he was saying. And then all of the people in Egypt, really he was saying that to Moses, but he was saying to every person of the Israelites, he was just saying, I love you. And I want to take you out of bondage. I want to take you out of Egypt. I want to be the God of heaven and earth for you. I want to do things that are mind-blowing. And I'm just reading in my daily readings right now, I'm just reading about, you know, Joshua and how he went in and how Moses passed on the mantle, but Joshua went in. And every enemy was slaughtered. You know, you read the Old Testament sometimes, my mind is going, God, is this you? You know, what's going on here? But the fact is God is fighting our battles.
Yes.
You know, if a person's battling with any battle, God has to come in and deliver you. See, was I qualified to say I'm going to heaven and not hell? No. So who had to come and tell me? Well, God told me to go up and ask Christ to come into my heart. And when he came into my heart, my life was completely changed. And I started going through the process. And apparently before I was walking without Christ, it was a process. Did he know where I was at? Yes, he did. He knew that I was there. But he loved me so much, he said, Jake, one more time, come to the altar. Give your life to Jesus and get in the process. And we can slow the process down, but I really believe that if you're a God seeker, wherever you're at, God knows exactly where you're at, and he wants to take you to the place of getting through that so you can go on to the next prophetic word that God had for you. The life of Jesus from birth to resurrection was the process of his calling. He was called to be the Son of God. He was called to deliver us out of the evil hands of the enemy. His entire life was preparing him for what he had to do to complete the mission he was called to do. You know, Jesus, the one thing he did, he stayed on the process. Even when the disciples said, no, you don't have to go. And it was very nice that the disciples didn't want Jesus to go and die on the cross and stuff. But that wasn't his process. His process was the cross. That was a prophetic word that was spoke over his life. His disciples did not know that. So they say, Jesus, no way are you going to Jerusalem and they're going to kill you. But the process, the prophetic process was Jesus was going to be the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundations of the world. Wow. And that was his process, and Jesus kept on going through it. And here are some of the areas. Everything he did, he was completing prophecy. From his birth to the cross to resurrection, the Bible prophecy were being fulfilled. All the Bible prophecy were being fulfilled. He was going through the process. And you start talking about his life. It was his birth. That was a prophetic word that was spoken in the Bible about him when he was going to come. he was shepherds in the field by night. That was another prophetic word that was spoken. You'd say, well, just think of it. The shepherds were out there. The Old Testament had prophesied that. That there'd be shepherds at night and they'd see this great star. There was another prophetic deal. As far as the wise men visiting Jesus, that was a prophetic word that he had received way before he was even born. The 30 pieces of silver, when Judas sold them, it was a process. And that was in the Old Testament. And it was prophesied that 30 pieces of silver would be the price that was paid to betray Jesus. And of course, we know the story about Judas. It was a process. Okay, and so from being born again into Jesus, there's a process of fulfilling the prophecy that he has spoken over your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That was Jesus. He fulfilled, and we're celebrating that today. We're celebrating the resurrection today. But there is a prophetic word that's on the inside of you that God is wanting to reveal to you. And it's a word only for you. You know, I should say Israel, when God prophesied over all of Israel, that was for Israel. But there was every person that had a job to do. You think of Ruth in the Bible. You know, it was almost impossible for her to get into the lineage of Christ, but she went through process, and through an old bitter woman that became sweet because of a prophetic word that was spoken that Ruth was going to bring forth a child, Obed, and she became in the lineage of Jesus. How cool is that? That's really cool. You know, what a woman. You know, Mary. You know, again, she was, just think of what she had to carry on with. You know, before Christ, having the birth, virgin birth. You know, that was pretty hard to convince anyone that was going to be born. It was going to be a virgin birth. But it was. And she had to carry that. She was in process. How would you like to see your son on a cross after 30-some years, 33 years, dying on a cross? It was process. Mary had to go through it, stand in it. And if she would have missed her moment, then what would have went on? Mary became she was a mother she was supposed to be the mother of mothers. And she still is to a lot of organizations. But really what it was saying, that you have a process. There's something for you today to do to get into God and walk in process. just like Jesus. Okay, in Psalm 16:11, it says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." This is really a path that we're on. And in the presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So where are we seated? At right hand of God. So when we do these things, this is what goes on. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. I love to be filled with the joy of the Lord. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. You know what? The pleasures of God are for us. Yes. Does it get a little crazy at times? Absolutely. Do you have to fight the good fight of faith? Absolutely. But we follow Jesus, and he went into battle, and he won every enemy. He destroyed every enemy that was against God and the redemptive work that Jesus was accomplishing on the cross. Amen? At the cross. So then it says, Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father right now, and we are risen with him in heavenly places. Where do I live? In heavenly places. Now you can say, well, my abode is not very nice. My home is not very nice. Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, you know, a mansion has been prepared for you. Move on in. Well, I mean, the Bible says that, you know, he'd prepared mansions. Move on in. How could you live better than all of the promises that God gave you in this mansion? You say, well, do you need a lot of money? No. Do you need some money? Probably, but probably not. But move into your mansion. Because all provisions is given to us to succeed in the highest way that a human being could succeed in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Don't get too excited. Hallelujah. In Colossians 1:27, I've been finding out when I read a page, there's so much on the page that it's almost like mind-boggling. You know, I said, how am I going to fulfill all this stuff in my lifetime? So here's Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Okay, that's one sentence. Figure that one out. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ where? In you. How did Christ get in you? He fulfilled the process. You know, from Old Testament to New Testament, Jesus fulfilled the process. Now we go into him and we're risen with him to find all answers, all understanding, all of the stuff. You'd say, well, I could be the dumbest person in the world, and relying on God, I become the smartest person in the world. That was a good place where you could say, Pastor, you're the smartest one in the world. No. You know, I really just shook off all that stuff, what I have to accomplish and who I have to do so I can be this. I am already that. I'm received by the beloved, all-knowing, all-wonderful, all-precious God has placed everything on the inside of me to be like him. You don't get any better than him. Amen? Amen. And so it excites me. This is why we could shout, we could jump, we could run. Why do you go running around the world? Because he said that we are going to take our Jerusalem, and we're going to take our state, Judah, Minnesota. We're going to take Samaria, which is a little farther out, and then we'll take the uttermost parts of the world. The uttermost parts of the world. You know, this is my Jerusalem. I live here. You know, I am at 419 3rd Street East. That's where I live. That's where I'm at. But you know, that's really not where I'm at. Where I'm at is I'm going there. And so now I'm going to Steve Mianje's Jerusalem. Uganda is his Jerusalem. You know, we go, oh, you're going to Uganda. No, I'm going to Steve's house in Uganda. That's his Jerusalem. So he's going to show me around Jerusalem, his Jerusalem. I showed him around. He came. He stayed with me. I drove him up to Walmart. I drove him up to the new store, Fleet. I drove him around, said, hey, this is my Jerusalem. Do you have a Fleet store like we have a Fleet store? No way. And so I'm going to his Jerusalem, and he's going to show me what's going on in his Jerusalem, because I showed him what was going on in ours. And you know what? Steve is a tremendous blessing to the body of Christ in Thief River Falls, Minnesota. Yes. How could that happen? Because he continues to go through the process. What does the process cost? A lot. Well, how can we afford it? You can't. Can I go? Absolutely. Can I get the finances too? Yeah. How? What? Don't ask how. I don't know. God does it. God does it. If you believe in your heart and saying, I'm going someplace, you'll be there. A good chance you'll be there.
That's right.
A lot of times it's in, even in the world, we say, I'm going to have a 72-inch, what's the biggest TV, 96-inch, that'd be 8-foot. Yeah. If you put that in your head, put that in your heart, and you start shelling out $100 a month or so, and it's $3,500, you get it. You have it there, you'll get it. Now, that's not exactly a God vision. Vision, television, pretty good. That was good, Dave. That was funny. I don't care what you say. That was funny. Okay, you know, I mean, this is what it's all about. I mean, God is able to get where we're going and take us there with him.
That's right.
He's going to be in Uganda. I'm not going if he's not. I've been in a few places that I didn't think he was there. And so it goes on and it says, who we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. See, he wants us to walk in perfection because he's perfection. You say, well, I'll never do that. No, that's not true. You're in process. And when Moses stepped into, he didn't step into Canaan land, but he was in process. And when he was taken off the mountain and died, that was the end of that process. He fulfilled his process. Come on now. Ladies, gentlemen, you are in process. And God is, he's still doing the same thing as he did for Jesus. He was in process. We go through process. We get there. And he shows us these things. And then we have to go to the next process. Moses, if he would have just been at the burning bush and he said, wasn't that exciting? I had to take my shoes off because I was on holy ground. It was so cool. Yeah, until you had to hear what God said, and then you had to go to Egypt to deliver the people of God. I don't want to go through that process. Well, to get to the other end, you have to go through process. I always think about it. I used to ask ladies, how is it to bear a child? And then also to carry a child, you know. And right around month 9, you don't really like to monkey too much on that carrying the child. How does it feel, honey? You walk. You're on sacred ground. You walk. This is holy ground. And then to go through the birth of a child. And I said, you're in process. You can't stop it. It's a deal. Are you out of control? Absolutely out of control. But you know what? We have God, and he's in control. Amen. And whatever you're going through, God will bring you through. And however you react to it, God understands how you're going to react to it. Did Moses not react a couple of times? He wasn't quite right. How about Esther when she was going to deliver the nation of Israel, she said, well, I'm not going to do that. And Mordecai, type of the Holy Spirit, said, if you don't do it, I'm going to send someone else, so you miss your process. Oh, Esther, come, okay. Well, you fast for this amount of time, and I'm going to have all the people fast for me, and then I'll go see the king. Because if you went to the king unannounced, that could be your death sentence. And so she had to do that, and she did, but she found out that the king loved her. So love takes over everything. Every nation, the Muslim nation, that's not our problem. It's the love of God not getting to the Muslim nation in a right spirit that they could be saved. And this next conference, this guy, this Hedlund, he's a Norwegian from Norway, and he's coming to the conference. But this guy is phenomenal with the Muslim people in Pakistan and all of the Muslim nations. The guy's incredible. And so that's his process. Who wants to go to Pakistan? You can if you want to. And you know what? I want to, but I don't want to enough. Right now, I don't want it enough. But when I'm going to say I want to, I know I'll be in Pakistan. Yes. And I won't be translated. I'll go through the process. It might cost me some finances. But my finances aren't mine anyway. And that's why I'm always asking you for finances. Because they're not your finances anyway. They're his. Well, I'm just going to hold on to the last dollar. Yeah, that's probably what you'll have to at the end of it all. I got $1 left. Hallelujah. And so don't bail out on the process. Jesus asks us to stay in there. He said, stay in there. I've been through this before. I understand how it is. And he even, I can almost, just in Jesus, in his humanity, is saying, please. I really believe that he would have said that to his disciples that he was with for 3 years, Tom. I believe that Jesus would have said, please stay in there.
Come on.
Let me wash your feet.
Yeah.
You know, come on. I'll do anything to keep you so you stay in there.
That's it.
And of course, the disciples, when the crucifixion come, they all said, I'm out of here. But they were going through process. And that showed how powerful the Holy Spirit is. When the Holy Spirit comes and you accept him, there's nothing that can stop you. You are unstoppable. And you are very, very dangerous.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So as Jesus was going through, is it going to be hard? Yes, it'll be hard. But keep on going through the process. The cross, was it hard? Yes, it was hard. Go through the process. The grave, was it hard? Absolutely. I mean, you're in the unknown. And then, of course, the resurrection gives me a big smile on my face because of process. And when Jesus went through the process, could you imagine on the third day, when the women went out to find Jesus and he's not there, he's resurrected. He's not there. He's gone. Praise the Lord. And we have to be the same way. We have to be gone. The Lamb of God, who loved the world, has shed his blood, has paid the price in a grave, split hell wide open. The devil, the biggest problem the devil ever did was kill Jesus.
That's right.
Because the greatest victory come 3 days later.
That's right.
But it wasn't without a process. It wasn't without laying down his life and his family laying down his life, Mary and Joseph and the little babies. I mean, I don't know how many babies from two years old and down, they went through process. You'd say, well, what? Why did they deserve to die and I didn't die? I don't know, and I don't have that answer, but it was a process. And the devil, he's real, and he's come to rob, kill, and destroy. That's what he does, and he does it very well. He's a father of lies. He does that very well. But I want to tell you about the Prince of Peace and the God that loves us greater than anything else, including up to his son. God loved his son. God so loved the world that he gave his son. So how much does he love the world? There isn't one soul that God wouldn't want to reach out and grab and just say, hey, I love you. You know, and John, in the book of John, he said, behold the Lamb. Take a look at the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. There's no one better than Jesus. And God said, behold the Lamb. And so with this thought, in closing, Jeremy is going to give us a little beholding the Lamb. And if you want to stand, if you want to sit, that's no problem. Do what you want to do. But let's hear this song. I really think it really speaks about Easter and all that it means. Are we ready, Jeremy?